is checking me out to see if I had it or not. What's that? Hey, Bob's leaving. Oh. Yeah, he's working. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hey, it's a joy to be back tonight. Hey, great turnout. Now, let me know. How many of you brought your mug tonight? No, this one. This one. It should be everybody. You got a mug, right? This mug right here you brought. And how many of you brought a mug? Dun, 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 dun. Anybody not have a mug? Anybody not have a mug? Not have one. Anybody not have a mug? We had some extras lying around, so we make sure everybody had a mug. Good. Amen. And so you have your mug, an ugly mug, and who tonight would say that they brought an ugly mug with them? Amen. We got an ugly mug in the back. Yes, ma'am. Who'd you bring? On the end. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else bring an ugly mug tonight? Amen. Right there? Yes, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's only a figure of speech. Okay. You know, they say beauty's only skin deep, but ugliness goes to the bone. Amen. Some ugly bones around here. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad. Thank you so much for working hard and getting folks to come. And that's what it's all about. Hey, we talked about on Sunday and then Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then last night on the life of Barnabas. And being excited about what God's doing in your heart and life. And then taking that and helping another with it. And helping them along. And that's my desire tonight, is to help you along a little bit. And share about these things. And I'm glad you got your mug. We're going to look at those in just a minute. So hold on to them. And then we're going to get into the message. And then we're going to come back around and finish up with the mugs again. I got a purpose. Open your Bibles to the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm. I'm hearing clanking back there. I mean, we're not toasting time yet. Amen. And so 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm. It's right in the middle of your Bible. You kind of go right in the middle a little bit. At least in my King James Bible, it's right there in the middle. Amen. Many folks have this memorized. I have it mostly memorized, and so that I don't miss a word, I'm going to be right here in the middle of it myself. I want to read just two verses at the bottom there, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll start back up at the top. The Bible here says in the 23rd Psalm, verse number 5, it says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." I knew you had a reason for this cup, Brother Holtzclaw. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I like that, forever. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for tonight and your blessings to us. I pray, Lord, you lead us and guide us tonight. And Lord, help us to be more like thee. And dear Lord, may tonight, as we have just sung, Lord, fill my cup. I lift it up so you can make me whole, dear Lord. And dear Lord, happiness is in the Lord, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. And dear Lord, this is a place where we ought to have joy. But dear Lord, it's also a time of place that we come to get things right and to heal. And dear Lord, to help others. And dear Lord, I know it's tough and rough out there and things troublesome times all over. And Lord, be with these families, dear Lord, and these loved ones that have gone over to help in Syria. Now they've been taken captive, Lord. But those are the ones we know about. But Lord, be with the ones we don't know about. But dear Lord, in these troublesome times, we must continue on, because until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. So Lord, tonight we bring our cups to you and pray, dear God, that you fill us up and make us whole. We praise you and we pray all this in Jesus' name this evening. Amen and amen. It's a little poem that somebody wrote, and then another took it and made a song out of it. It's called, "I'm Drinking from My Saucer Because My Cup Is Overflowed." I like that. It says, "I've never made a fortune and it's probably too late now." You know what that means. "But I don't worry about that much. I'm happy anyhow. And as I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Haven't got a lot of riches. And sometimes the going's tough. But I've got loving ones around me, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for His blessings and the mercies He's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup is overflowed. Oh, I remember the times when things went wrong, when my faith wore somewhat thin. But all at once the dark clouds broke and sun peeped through again. So Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough rows that I've hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. And if God gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough, how not ask for other blessings? I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy to help others bear their loads. Then I'll keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. My friend, we have a cup that the Lord has given to us. And can I say something? I want to see your cup. We all have something that's unique about us. Something that, when I mention, will you bring a mug? Your mug. And often folks will bring a mug, their mug. Something that you drink out of maybe every morning. Some folks bring them that they drink out all day through them. Amen. Some folks can do that stuff. I can't have coffee and things with caffeine past 2 o'clock. I'm wired. Pastor took me out for Chinese, and I had some Chinese tea today. I'm just a little high strung, can you tell? But that's okay. That's okay. It helps the message along. Amen. So by that, I was preaching at one service, preaching about these cups, and sure enough, one of the church members went out and bought me a cup. They bought my own mug. It's a Superman mug. The pastor said, can you dodge speeding bullets? I almost brought a bullet tonight. And I was going to give it to my wife, but she wasn't able to make it. Pray for my wife. She's dealing with that arthritis stuff. How many ladies know what I'm talking about there? Say amen. She just running on the road and just wears her out, I'll tell you what. And so I was going to give her the bullet and have her stand by the back door. And, okay, honey, throw it. I'm going to dodge a bullet. But since she's not here, I just told you about it, okay? So Superman. But someone gave that to me, and I praise the Lord for it. But let me see what you have. If you got your mug, let me see it. I'm going to start up here with Pastor's wife and see what Miss Deb's got up here. Can you show me? Ooh. It's big writing, and I still can't read it. It says, Dog Walkers of America, when they gotta go, we gotta go. What'd she say? Melissa gave it to her. I was just wondering, is that for your dog or preacher? That is so cute. I like that. You have one? Ooh, this one's a mug of tea. If I drank this, I'd be wild. It's empty. Who gives? You know, it's empty. Gives an empty cup with a lid. Well, we don't want anything to escape. That's very nice. Thank you. Amen. What does Mama have over here? Oh, I knew you were the wolf type. I knew it. She's got wolves on here. I knew you were the wolf type. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with your teeth. I mean, felt. That's what a wolf would say, amen, felt with my teeth. No, Helen Keller, well, they must be felt with the heart. That's good right there. It touches me real well. Felt with the heart, amen. Oh, Pastor's got a couple up here, doesn't he? Amen. Pastor's got some. Grace College and Seminary. La 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 la. Dad. There's Dad on it. Sarah got that one. Oh, Sarah, yeah. We knew you couldn't make it. No. Yes, he could. He's got a degree. It's got like 98 degrees of them. Amen. Amen. And a picture of his grandbaby in the suite right there. Somebody say, aw. And then on the back it says, Grandpa's little stinker. Thank you for letting me pick on you, Pastor, a little bit. All right, what do we got to go back here? We got to keep on going. That's pretty big for a little guy like you. You like big things like that? That good? What you got in there? Nothing. That's even better. That's even better. Mama got a cup, too? That looks very similar to one my wife has. Better go find out if that's hers, you know. Amen. Very nice. Nice green. Ceramic mug. Do you have one, buddy? Ooh, I like that. Do you drink out of that one?
We forgot to bring a mug, so we went to the dollar store. But I drank from
the dollar store. Yeah, but I got an orange and my dad was killing me.
Oh, yeah?
Swapped and it
broke. You didn't get the rest of it? He had one, but it broke. It just jumped right out of your hand, didn't it?
No, it just slept.
It just slept. And I heard it, and it went, psh. Is that right? Now, if you drop that one, it wouldn't go, psh. What would it do if you dropped that one? What kind of sound would it make then? It would not break. But what kind of sound would it make?
No, no.
Well, let's find out. Oh, that's a good note. Oh, now I broke it. Next. What we got here? Oh, nice, pretty flowers. You like flowers? You have a garden?
I've got a lot of flowers, but no flower garden. I have them in pots.
You have them in pots. Are they plastic?
Yes.
They are plastic. This is a true story. I was in I was in Youngstown helping to start a church. And I was driving down the road to get to the church, and there's a really dense neighborhood there. And I saw this front of the house. There must have been, I'm not exaggerating, about 1,000 plastic flowers in the front of the house. You would have thought wildflowers were growing everywhere, but they were all plastic. How did I know they were plastic? Because they had been spray painted. Purples and greens and orange.
I have a tricycle on the inside, but I have real ones on the outside.
You have real ones on the outside. Yeah. That's a nice mug. I appreciate it. Yes, sir? Do you have a mug? What is that? What?
Isaiah 40:31.
Got to hurry. Got a long way to go. Blessed are they that drink from this cup.
Yeah. Wrong.
Okay. The good man helped the...
No, wrong.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Beautiful eagle flying on there. How'd you get this mug? Did you steal this mug?
No, she got another gift.
She got it. Oh, she got it. She's the more spiritual one. Yes. And what'd you get? Did you catch that one? Did you catch that? She's more spiritual. She's the one that got to cook. Oh, Cape Henry Lighthouse. Now, where's Cape? Oh, in Virginia Beach. That's pretty nice. Did you get this brand new?
Yes.
In 1881?
Yes.
It's dated 1881. If she got an 1881.
She shoplifted it.
I take it back. You're the more spiritual one. Shoplifting is a sin, madam. All right, what we got here? Big dog, dun, 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 he's the big dog. Sir?
We got a big dog.
You have? Well, I thought you were telling me that you were the big dog.
5'6", I'm
there. 5'6", I cannot be the big dog. Hey, big dog's only an attitude, my friend. I've seen some big dog chihuahuas. Who's ever seen a big dog chihuahua? Hey, man, I've seen a big dog chihuahua. Another big dog, St. Bernard. Hey, man, praise the Lord, that's nice. Any others down there? Oh, let me see those. Let me see. Oh, even a match set. a mashed set, Pastor. These are so very nice.
Thank you.
Oh, man, goodness.
Thank you.
Can you tell me where you get those sometime later? I'd like to get some of those. You, sir?
Imaginary.
He's got imaginary ones. I bet they hold imaginary tea, too. Don't they have a tea called imaginary tea or something like that? Yes, ma'am. May I see your goblet back here? Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Can anybody not see this thing? If you can, you're blind. This thing is so yellow. At least he's got a nice smile on. Do you work at Walmart?
No.
And you, sir? Is that you?
Yeah.
I wonder what you look like without the beard on. She agrees over here. She says, yeah, I believe that's what he does look like without the beard. You see that, Pastor?
Oh.
The Cool Wink Motel. I like that. In Romney, West Virginia. That's probably funnier than the front. Amen.
Yeah.
The Cool Wink. How do you do that? That's cool. Cool Wink. I can't do that. I'm not cool. What you got here? Matt, I can't believe you brought this thing.
Name is mine.
Oh. Hey, it's a coffee cup. It's written on it. Coffee cup, some like it hot. I can't help the fact that it's got Marilyn Monroe on the front of it. What's this one? Oh, drink big. That's good. I like that one. That's good. Now, do you put this on top of your head and dream big?
Absolutely not. It might fall right.
How can... No, that's only them. What sound does it make when you drop it?
No.
Can we see what sound it makes?
No.
Can I go here? Marines. Amen. Yeah. Marines. Were you a Marine, sir? God bless you. Thank you for serving. Amen. Those are some great Marines. Yes, ma'am? What is that? It says, I'd rather be shopping. She is not a Marine.
Yeah.
Amen. I'd rather be shopping. Yeah, I sing in yours.
Do not drop that. It's my cereal bowl.
Oh! Do you put little marshmallows in there, too?
No marshmallows.
Well,
it's the banana.
Well, banana's a banana. Cereal. Do you put cereal in there or do you put bananas in there?
Corn flakes and cereal.
Corn.
Banana.
Very nice. Thank you, ma'am. You know, from a distance, I thought this was a cow. But it's not.
Oh,
well, it's a camel. And it says, what day is it?
Look at
the bottom.
Has your answer.
I go, look at the bottom.
I keep telling you.
You peeked.
I already knew.
She cheated.
Everybody knows that.
It says it's hump day. Amen. Of course, we know what day that is.
Wednesday.
When you're in the zoo, it's every day.
Right.
Yes, do you have a cup? Do you have a mug? I thought that one was yours. What? Oh, she took it off. Hey, folks, they got one just like you. Just like you. And I know he brought this one in. I saw him fill it. Why is it empty now?
She drank it.
Get go, amen. Well, we need to get going. There you go. Thank you, ma'am. There you go. We've already hit you guys. Boy, this back row is going to be quite full. Now, I heard this lady back here brought six of them. Hopefully she doesn't give me all six. Oh. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Do it today. We need to get through this today. That's a good cut. The today.
We went there.
Yes.
You went to the today?
And we were
in New York City?
Looking
at Rockefeller Square?
Show?
You were on the Today Show?
No, she was looking through the window.
Looking through the window? Out the window, they saw you?
Yeah.
And they arrested you?
No.
Oh.
We were on the Today Show, though.
On TV. Yeah.
On TV.
On the screen, they saw you through the window. They're peeking through the window.
Yep.
Yeah. And we went. And Leon had his name up there.
Uh-huh.
A big old sign.
Was it your birthday?
No.
Oh.
No.
Just want everybody to know your name.
Yes.
I'm Leon. This is Leon, folks.
Actually, it had our names on it. No, it just said Leon. Oh, she had one that had the kids' names on it.
I like it. That's good. I've been there. I've been there. But I didn't peek through no windows.
Why?
Last time I peeked, I got arrested. Did not. I did not. Scratch that from the tape. I did not. Amen. Wonderful picture of the grandkids. Wonderful. I like that. That's pretty cool. Thank you, ma'am. And, oh, can I see that one? That is so touching. This one says, I love you. I love you. I love you. And, ma'am, look, we got back here. Uh-oh. Faith, family, and friends. Amen. With the little peeps following the chicken. Oh, that kind of looks like a rooster, though, but we'll see. Is a rooster with little chicks? How about that? A mother's love is the heart of the home. And it's got a Christmas tree on the back. You just like Christmas, don't you?
No, my mom got it for me.
Mom liked that for me.
It's colorful like me.
Oh, wait a minute. He's the ugly mug.
He's the ugly mug. The mug's not ugly. That's a very nice mug there. Looks almost Indian-like. Like an Indian rug. I don't want that one. I want the important ones back there. Oh, see? He's a supporter, too. No, he got the leftovers. But really, he got a Route 66 mug. Praise the Lord. May I see the mug now? Thank you, sir. Tell me that he went hitchhiking on Route 66 back in 1953. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. Very nice mug. Oh, look at this one. She's got a picture on it. What is that? What is that? Does that look like Woody Woodpecker to you? A little bit. Yeah, if it was color, we'd have some color to it. That would look like Woody Woodpecker. Yes, sir?
It's pretty weak.
Oh, I like this one. His. He wrote his on his. She got, anyways. That's very nice. Are you Brianna or did you steal the cup? Granddaughters. Oh, there you go. This little delicate thing. That's so cute, sir. What we got? Oh, I like that. Pa, your coffee's ready. Cedar Point on Lake Erie, Sandusky, Ohio. And there's a lady hollering from a log cabin to Pa, who's out in the little outhouse. Amen. Praise the Lord. The outhouse. Amen. All right, come around here.
You want to see it?
I want to see it. I've already seen it.
Yeah,
this man really brought his mug and an ugly mug. Does that say ugly mug on there? It says ugly mug on it. Although it's got a pretty scene on the front side. Maybe everybody else sees a pretty scene so he can remind himself who he is. Just kidding. Hey, man, we're doing all this kidding. Very nice. Pekingese, proud and true. A brave soul, intelligent, fun-loving, your best buddy. They have no noses. I guess. They don't need a nose. They got everything else. Oh, no. Dun, dun, dun. It's got grumpy on it. They say the mug represents the attitude of the soul that has it. What did you have again? You have the winky one, didn't you? Yeah, you had the winky motel. Quickie wink. Thank you, man.
It represents what I deal with all day.
That's what she deals with. She deals with grumpy all day? I heard her say, somebody asked her at work the other day, did you wake up grumpy today? She said, no, I let him sleep in. We'll get that later. In Proverbs, we find wisdom in every kind. Oh, I like that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. Thank you. I'm not smiling. Oh, there it is. Okay. This is Grandpa's cup. That will take me all night to read, sir. But that's pretty neat. Favorite sayings of Grandpa. Come climb up on this knee. Isn't your hair a little long? That reminds me of a story, Grandpa says. Things sure do change. I'm so proud of you. Back when I was your age. Nobody was your age, brother. Amen. Your special mom. I like that. Mom, you've always been there to make things right with my world, to listen, to laugh, to be proud of me, to be happy for all the good things, and to share the disappointments. You're a very important part of my world. Mom, for always, thanks for making it such a special place. That is nice. Amen. Are we followers too. Hey, man, look at these folks. What kind of church is this that brings coffee mugs into the auditorium? Ohio Police and Fire Pension Fund. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for our fire and our police personnel.
It's a chalkboard mug.
I had an idea one time. But you can see there's nothing in there and there's nothing on there. That's just blank. Thank you, ma'am. Now you got to wash it. Anybody else? What you got here? The nicest mom anyone could ask for. Who'd you steal this from?
My son got me that when he was a teenager and I was mad at him.
Oh. It's a makeup mug, amen? That's a makeup mom. You're the best mom in the world. And this one's for Oma. O-M-A with all the pictures of the grandkids. Always like those. Those always... It says in here, tell a lot of partners about their tea stains in their cup. It says in here, wash me. No, I'm just kidding. We got plenty that look like that too. Amen.
That's ducky.
That's ducky. You know what you got when you got a box of ducks? Package of Quackers. This is Vaughn's. Make tea, not war. Tivanya?
Tivana.
You know, they warn us Christians about going down to Tijuana. But, I mean, come on. Is that it? Has everybody got their cups? Amen. Wasn't that fun? You know, we are to have fun in church. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. But I want you to think, everybody's got their own cup, and everybody's got their own mug, and everybody's got something special about them, even making their own and drawing their own and putting pictures of kids on it. But my friend, can I share something with you? When we talk about that space in our heart, that in a sense, like a cup, like a mug, that only one should fill. And that one should fill should be the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he talks about his cup overflowing there in that passage of Scripture. My cup overfloweth. He says here, the Lord, he says, is the source. He says, thou, in verse number 5. Thou preparest the table, he says. But really, who's the thou? Well, let's go before that in verse 1. He says, the Lord is the thou. The Lord God is the thou. He is the one that should fill our cup. He's the one that should fill us up. He is the one that should make us whole. Because he is my shepherd, the Bible says here. For see, David was a shepherd. And David wrote this psalm, a shepherd writing about the good shepherd. And he knows shepherd talk. You know how people have special talk. You go down to the garage, and those fellas down the garage, they're throwing this terminology around. You don't really quite sure what they're talking about down there at the garage. The doohickey connected to the dink flunko over here is messing up with the calibration of the spinning hydromatic flow of the cosmic thing. You know, that's going to cost a lot of money. To fix. Everybody has their own language. You know, technology is where those which are into it, and computers, those which are in it, they have their own technology and their own word and own language. But my friend, when a shepherd talks about the shepherd, he knows the language. And here the shepherd saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And so David's putting himself like a sheep. I'm a shepherd over flock, but here the Lord is my shepherd and he's over me. And because of that, he says, I shall not want. He says, because I'm a sheep, he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. For a sheep, that's a posturpedic, ultra foamy, whatever kind of mattress. For a sheep, he maketh me to lie down in those green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, not troubled waters, but by the still waters, he says. the shepherd, the Lord. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. But can I tell you something? He leads you in the path of righteousness not because of you. And not even for you. He leads you down that path of righteousness, as the verse says, for His namesake. Because you are His namesake. As a child of God, you bear His name. My friend, we need to walk in that path of righteousness for Him. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And my friend, I've been there. As a pastor, I've been there many a time. Walking with families and walking with individuals that were soon to take their last breath. Walking down that valley of death. I remember one time in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was right at Christmas, the day before Christmas. One of our bus kids, 12-year-old kid, who stepped out from his street just playing with some stuff that he had, and he stepped out onto a busy street. He wasn't watching. He was too busy playing, and he got hit and knocked clear out of his shoes. Christmas Day, he's in the hospital. And the day after Christmas, they had to pull the plug because he was brain dead. And on Christmas Day, I'm sitting with his mom, and I'm sitting with his grandma and grandpa. The doctor's sharing with him, there's nothing we can do. There is no response. What do you want us to do? And they look at me. You're the preacher. What should we do? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He says, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, I worked on a farm, and they had these oxen. And they would drive this oxen. As one would stand beside the oxen, he had this little small poker with a point to it. And then he had a staff that he would tap the other side of the oxen. And my friend, one was the poke to tell him to step over one way. And the other was a tap on the outer shoulder to make him turn to the other side. Can I tell you, sometimes I've gotten that rod. And I've gotten that staff. And for me, it wasn't pretty. But can I tell you something? Yea, though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, that dark valley, even that rod that touches me on the shoulder and that little staff that's poking me is a great comfort to me, he says. And then he says this, thou, the Lord, the good shepherd, hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Oh, I like this. See, the Lord is the source. He is the one. He is the one that has prepared this table. He is, as the psalmist is writing here, as the shepherd taking care of the sheep, but also as a shepherd taking care of this wayward traveler. And as this wayward traveler comes in to this one, it is kindness, it is good manners, it is good etiquette to have them come in. And only come in, He has prepared a table. And can I tell you something? My Lord has a table waiting for you and for me up in heaven. He has a table. But He has a table right here and now in our Word of God that we can read. He has a table of blessings. He has a table of joy and a table of peace that we can run to. And He prepares this table for us. Can I get your imagination running just a little bit? I hang around kids too much. I taught children's church way too long, can you tell? And pastor gave me too much tea. This table is like any other you have ever seen. Artists have tried to draw this table that if you look to your left, it goes on forever. And you look to the right and it goes on forever. And this table has everything on it. I read Emily Post's book on etiquette. And she doesn't give me all she gave me the reasons to use a number of forks and a number of spoons in their placement, but this one is better than all that. Because He's prepared that table for me. And He has this table for you that you can come. And this place is for you as a child of God, for you to come. And only that as a child of God. He says He's placed this table before where? The presence of mine enemies. I like that. Can you see yourself walking in all worn out and tired from being beaten up in this day and this world that was all around us and the dirt and the grime that's all about us? And you walk in and the good shepherd says, come on in, I got a place for you. And it's beautiful and you sit down. And everybody's looking at you. All your enemies are looking at you. They're pointing their finger at you. And you're sitting down at this beautiful table. If it's me, I go, I'm here. You're not. Because that's what the good Lord does. That's what the good shepherd does. He has prepared a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. That's what he does. But not only that. He says, thou anointest my head with oil. Oil is a healing balm. Oil brings that preservation back. You take one that's been out and out in the sun and out in a desert and out and dry, water's good. But when you apply that salve, that oil to the skin, it brings life back into it. He anointeth my head with oil. And oh, how many times in the Bible it tells us that the oil is a symbol of that of the Holy Spirit of God. And that of the Holy Spirit of God, my friend, is here and is with us. And the Lord has given to him to us as the great comforter. And as he comes and we kneel ourselves and yield ourselves to him and we sit at that banqueting table, he comes and he brings that anointing oil of healing. Oh, my friend, I don't know why people don't go to church. I don't know why people don't pray and talk to God. I just don't know why. When they could come to this good shepherd who has prepared this wonderful table for them in the presence of their enemies and has this healing ointment to heal them. But not only that, he says here also, he says, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. But my cup runneth over. When I first read that, I first thought that's odd. You know, when you have a guest that comes to your house, do you fill their cup till it's overflowing? You know, often when someone comes in, they're thirsty and all that, you're going to give them a cup right there to just a little bit below the top. You would, wouldn't you? You would, wouldn't you? Now, if I went to Vaughn's house and I was thirsty and I had ridden my bicycle for 50 miles and ran the face of the wind and my teeth and all this and bugs all stuck all over me, if I went to Vaughn's house, he'd probably give me a little sippy cup with that much in it. Listen to that laugh. Yeah, I know he would. You know, but is that what a gracious host does? A gracious host would fill it near the top and is ready to give you more. And my friend, that's what the Lord does. And more. And more. You see, if I went back over to Vaughn's house on another day and he already got me once with that little thing, I said, come on, Vaughn, fill it up. Vaughn would. He'd probably give me one of those big glasses and fill it all the way to the top. And just that little fraction above to where that little water bubble is sitting there around the rim. Just knowing that when I grab it, it's going to spill. Oh, thanks, Vaughn. Got me again. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord, he doesn't give you a little bit. The Lord doesn't give you to the top and he gives you a little bit left. He doesn't play around and he leave a little bubble at the top so as soon as you grab it, it spills. Or you got to grab it and go. So it doesn't spill. Try to do that in a three-piece suit and look dignified. Especially if it's chocolate milk. You're getting it everywhere. But here, my friend, I want you to see the Lord does more. The Lord does more. The Lord delights in not only filling our cup, but giving us more than enough. More than enough. He pours and he pours and he pours until it overflows. Because our cup has overflowed. Why does he do that? Because it's just like him. A hymn we could have sung, it's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. I've got examples. Can I read them to you quickly? Luke chapter 5, verse 4, and then verse 6 and 7 says, "Now when they had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." Here the disciples, they're with Jesus. He's preaching. He's with them. He hasn't been there with them very long. And he says, "Brothers, cast out. We're going fishing." And he said, "Oh, Lord, we've toiled all night. We've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy will, we will go." And my friend, can I tell you something? They cast off. And the Lord was in their boat. Let down the net. So they let down the nets, Jesus said, but they let down the one net. And in that one net, my friend, that net broke. How did it break? I don't know. Maybe the rope that they were going to pull it in broke. Maybe it had a rip in it and some holes in it. What happens when you have a broken net? Fish get out. You lose fish. But can I tell you something? That's not what happened here. That's not what happened here. They draw that net in, and that net came in. They had so much fish, so much and weight of fish, that it overflowed their boat. And so that their boat wouldn't go under, they started filling up the other boat, and they filled up the other boat till it was just about to go under. Oh, my friend, can I tell you something? It's just like Jesus to overflow two boats with a broken net. My friend, you may be fishing in life with a broken net, but if you give it to Jesus, he can overflow your boat. Mark chapter 2, verse 9 through 12 says, "Whether is it easy to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth from them all," the Bible says. Jesus said, "I don't want you just to walk. I want you to carry your bed with you." A man sick of the palsy. Anybody understand apathy? An apathy of the legs? Someone that's been off their legs for a long time, maybe in bed for a long time, and now they got to get you up out of bed and get your mind working again on how to use those legs, and then muscles that have not been used to now to stand up with. You're wobbly, your equilibrium's going off, and these legs are kind of weak. But here, this man with a palsy who had never walked is now standing, and not only is he standing, he is now picking up his bed, and he's going on. That's just like Jesus. That's just like Jesus to give more and to forgive more for what he had done. Matthew 15, 36 through 38 is the feeding of the, now this one here is the feeding of the 4,000 men besides women, let alone the feeding of the 5,000 men. Matthew 15, 36 and 38. And how God blessed and they broke the bread and they did eat. And when they were done, it says, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and break them, 7 little loaves and fishes, break them, gave to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. How do you get 7 baskets full from 7 loaves and some fish? Because Jesus doesn't just give you enough. He gives you so much that it's overflowing. So much that it's overflowing. John 14, 13 says this, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in my Son." This passage says, "That will I do." I did some study on it. It's as if the Lord is saying here, "I will do anything that you ask me to, even if it's not even earthly possible." Because he said, "That will I do." Because he'll make a way for you. He'll make a way. If you come to him humbly and talk to him to forgive your sin, how wicked and how evil it may be, he will make a way. Because it's just like Jesus. It's just like Jesus. And my friend, he has the abundance to give. He has the love to give. John 10:10 says this, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Not just have life, which is more than what we deserve. Not have more life, but have it more abundantly. And my friend, can I tell you something? With this mug of ours that I have on the front row, this is what revival is. This is what revival is. Basically, see, we have this little cup in a place called our heart, that inner being. The Bible calls it many different things, but it's that spot that gets filled. And when I first got saved, this was pretty much empty before I got saved. It was empty. And I've chatted with many folks to say that, you know, there was just an emptiness in me. But when Jesus came in, I now am filled. It's like a piece of the puzzle that was missing. Didn't quite understand why until I found Jesus, and it's a perfect fit. When I asked Jesus to come into my heart, he came in and he started filling that cup. Filling that cup with that love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that meekness. And he filled it up. And I don't know when I first got saved, I had to go tell somebody. It was as if it was overflowing and spilling out to tell others. But through time, I just kept moving around a little bit. And I went to church quite a bit. And there was a moment in my life that I got away from God. I ran from God. And I stopped reading my Bible. I stopped praying. Even stopped going to church in my early 20s. And this cup of mine, this mug of mine, started getting empty and emptier and emptier until it was just as dry as can be. Oh, there was stuff in there, all right, because I kept putting other things in there. My schedule. My stuff. My personal sins. My besetting sins. God's not going to fill a dirty cup. And can I tell you something? I came to a place, Vonna, I didn't want that anymore. I didn't want my cup to be empty. I wanted it to be filled. In an old-fashioned revival meeting, there I was as a sinner saved, but there was so much stuff in my mug you couldn't tell. And an invitation came, and down that old-fashioned altar I came. With my mug and my heart. And it was as if I took it and I poured it out there at the old altar. Lord, not my will, but thine. Lord, I want to clean this mug out so that you'll fill it up. And my friend, this is revival. This is revival. When's the last time you had a blessing in your cup? When's the last time you allowed God to fill your cup? When's the last time you had those little goosebumps going up and down your neck knowing that the glory of God was here? And maybe, my friend, you've got some stuff in there that you need to get out and come to an old-fashioned altar and pour it out. And as we pour these things out, whatever it may be, the sin, the guilt, the sorrow, the jealousy, the malice, the vengeance, whatever it may be, the quest for the flesh, and we need to get that out. And with a humble heart, say, God, fill it up. Lord, I desire that to be filled again. I just feel so empty. I know that I'm saved, and dear Lord, I know what needs to go in there. And Lord, I lift it up unto you. But Lord, I don't deserve anything. And Lord, I don't expect anything from you. And little by little, I start feeling something on my fingers. Little by little, I feel a little trickle down my hands. And I'm like, what is? Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for filling my cup again. Thank you, Lord, for bringing back the joy again. And you know what happens? What's the first thing you do when you get excited about something? You got to tell somebody, Vaughn, let me see your cup. Let me see your cup. Your cup looks pretty empty there, my friend. Oh, God's been so good to me. Amen. And I'm sharing, and it's spilling. And Vaughn says, you know what, Brother Holtzclaw? I need some of that too. Don't you, Vaughn? I need some of that blessing too. You need some blessing? Grab your mug. And guess what happens? We pour out. And God fills again. And Bond says, hey, I like that. I want some more of that too. And he goes and tells another. And I go tell another. And us, we go tell another. And others go tell another. And others go tell another. Old song, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon it shall appear as you warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it. My friend, you have to let the whole world know about his love. You just can't help it because your cup has overflowed. Let's pray, shall we? Thank you for your time. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this evening. I pray, Lord, you bless this invitation. And, Lord, help us to see the great need that you are the cup filler because you are the Lord. You are the good shepherd.